It's a pleasure to bring in Evan Wiebeck. He covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News. Ev, how are you?
Doing well, Marty. Beautiful day in San Diego.
Yeah, there's something about that ballpark. It was jumping last night. What did you think of the uniforms of the Padres? They had their City Connect uniforms on.
It was hard to decide what was more lively between the crowd and the uniforms. I mean, it's just been a great, great baseball environment down here at Petco Park these last two games. They've had two sellouts Thursday and Friday night. Unbelievable in-game presentation. Obviously, it's a beautiful ballpark, great crowd. It's really just been a pleasure to be here. It's actually, these are my first games that I've ever been at Petco Park, and it's been a great introduction for me. We were talking, just kind of chatting with Gabe Kapler after our pregame session yesterday, and he went talked at pretty long length about, you know, just how good the Padres marketing department is at marketing these stars and drawing all these fans. It's not just a result of them being the only team left in this market. It's really an impressive presentation they put on down here, and obviously paired with a lot of winning baseball too.
Yeah, the park helps a lot. The uniforms, for people who didn't see it, it was sort of rainbowish, creamsicle colored, different colored shoes. It was pretty interesting, I thought. Did you like them?
San Diego Vice, right?
It was funny.
Certainly grasped the concept of the City Connect jerseys, right? Like they got creative. They had some fun with it. Whether people agree with the reasoning or not, there was, you know, real reasons behind these kind of outlandish colors, supposedly, you know, connecting the cities of Tijuana and San Diego and those communities, and also the pink supposedly representing the sunset on the Pacific, while the teal, the ocean foam.
Very good. Hey, Evan, very good. I like the way you described it. Very good. That was good. All right. You've been following this ball club all year long. I talked about in the open, there used to be something called the June Swoon that was written about every year in the 60s and 70s. The Giants would get off these great starts, and they'd get into June, and they'd fall apart, and they called it the June Swoon. And we sort of have it with this team this year. A good start, the 9 games over .500, the middle of June, and now they're at 500. You've been there the whole way. What's the difference in June and July?
Well, I've been trying to think of a word that rhymes with July, but I can't come up with one. The only one,
how about goodbye,
Marty,
or goodbye? How about that?
Yeah, July goodbye to their playoff hopes. It's just been a really bad baseball, just down to the fundamentals over the last 3 weeks or so. I mean, I don't think that's any secret to anybody who's watched. It's been pretty unwatchable for most, and I imagine some folks have started tuning out at this point because they just haven't been able to play, you know, just the basic functions of a Major League Baseball team. You see balls getting through the hole. You see guys making errors. You see players making mental mistakes on the bases or on defense. It's just kind of been a culmination of probably if there were concerns about this ball club going into the season, being the oldest club in the majors, one of the most, one of the least athletic, and kind of betting on, you know, these platoon splits and platoon advantages that they get on offense to make up for some of the disadvantages that they give them on defense. It certainly hasn't played out that way like it did last year.
Well, the veterans are a problem right now. And I say a problem because they're not hitting. And there's no Posey. And, you weren't here last year to see it. But, you know, Posey was a major part. Hitting third, just imagine that. Yesterday, interesting, they had Yermin Mercedes, the Yerminator, hitting third. He's only been here 2 weeks, and in a big game, he's your number three hitter. So no Posey. Belt has struggled. He was almost at 200 last night before the homer. And Craw as well, the big strikeout that he had. And Longoria is out now for 10 days. So for me, the veterans, and Ruff is another one who struggled. That, to me, is the biggest issue.
Yeah, Marty, I mean, there's just really no galvanizing force in this lineup night after night. If there is one, it's Jock Peterson, but he's not playing every day. They are giving him more opportunities against left-handers, and he's expected to start against Mackenzie Gore today or tomorrow. So that's a left-hander. They had, you know, Gabe Kapler talked with Jock, and they said they're going to split him and start him against one of these Padres lefties this series. But I mean, the fact is that this is a platoon-oriented lineup. There's no one hitter that teams are game-planning around anymore in the middle of that order, or one hitter who is going to be a slump buster night after night, who, you know, when everybody else is struggling and making outs, that this guy's going to come to the plate and deliver a big home run. But, I mean, just look no further than these last two nights against the Padres, right, with Manny Machado in the middle of that order. You know, a $300 million contract is absolutely paying dividends for them. They probably, you know, who knows what the results of these last two nights would have been without Machado's home runs each night, but they pretty much acted as the deciding glow in the very early innings.
Well, Evan Wiebeck with us, obviously, is on top of this ball club, and he's done it all year long. You've done a great job. The other one that jumps out at me, and again, looking for ways to improve this club and explain where they are right now, losers of 14 of 18 and 8 of their last 9, is Mike Yastrzemski. Ev, I don't know, you've seen all the games, 14 for 104, 8 for his last 71, and the punch-outs are, you know, more than one a game.
Yeah, it's been a pretty extended slump for Yaz, and it does come on the heels of when it looked like he was kind of turning things around, because he got off to a pretty cold start this season, and then, you know, sometime around, you know, the end of May, I think during that series in Colorado, he kind of really turned on the jets, and it looked like he had been kind of regaining his form of, you know, 2020 or 2019 and 2020. You know, I think he got his OPS up within, you know, 50 or so points of those, you know, high watermarks of his career, and it's just been a lead balloon, you know, over the last few weeks. And I mean, it's really just kind of coincided with, you know, the fall for just about every one of these Giants hitters and the Giants overall. It's almost like, you know, the team struggles are just, you know, piling up on each other and snowballing to the effect that all of these players are, you know, they see one guy struggle and then they struggle. And it's almost the opposite effect of where, you know, in spring and last season, you know, the pitching staff talked about, you know, like they were so good last year, right? And they saw everyone and they just wanted to, you know, top the last guy's performance, right? And it kind of acted as a, you know, motivational factor. And it basically gone the opposite direction this season.
Yeah, Evan Wiebeck with us. Ev, today it's a good game. Rodon goes today. He is the stopper. Did not have a great game, as we saw last week on Monday against Bumgarner down in Arizona. But he is out there today against a Padre team that's really challenged, I think, against left-handed pitching. Because you look up and down that lineup, other than Manny and Luke Voit, you probably have, you know, a bunch of lefties to deal with, which you probably can. So I like the matchup today with Rodon against Yu Darvish, a guy they've knocked around pretty well.
Yeah, and I think that there were some pretty encouraging factors from that last start from Rodon, too. He didn't really find the zone early. He didn't have much command for the first, you know, inning or two, but he did retire the last 12 hitters he faced. And, you know, with Rodon, it's all about efficiency with him. You know, he's got some of the best stuff in baseball, but whether it's missing the strike zone or guys fouling off his fastball and going deep into counts, you know, it's always, you know, I don't want to say a no hitter watch with him, but you know, he has the stuff to do that any night, and it's just a matter of, okay, has he gotten through, you know, 3, 4, 5 innings on a fairly efficient pitch count? So that's something to watch for tonight. Is, you know, is he able to, you know, retire these Padres hitters in an efficient manner?
Well, the game is 4:15, so you got all that sunlight type issues at that point. And it's, as I say, they've got too many lefties, and he should be able to shut them down. Danny Emmerman, who we enjoy from KNBR.com, he and I text just about every start of Rodon. I said, okay, here comes the no-hitter when it's about the fourth inning. So we'll see what he does today. The bullpen has been an issue. And let's talk about that a little bit, because Long pitched last night, and, of course, then they had to go to Rogers and Brevia and Littell and eventually McGee. But, Evan, in my opinion, you just can't use these guys night after night after night. It's only July. How is Kapler going to manage this thing for the next two and a half months?
It's going to be really interesting to see, Marty, because you look at the leaders in games pitched in this season, and the Giants have two or three relievers in the top 10 there. You know, this is kind of a product of the way Gabe has managed the starting pitching staff, where, you know, for the first month or two of the season, guys weren't going past 5 or 6 innings, and even still, it's pretty rare. And you know, this is kind of, he's explained this to be an effort of, you know, saving the starters' stamina and, you know, whatever pitches they don't throw early in the season, they will have in the tank for, you know, the stretch run down in August and September. And obviously relievers are a little bit more interchangeable than starters, but ultimately it is kind of piling up in terms of innings and workload for a lot of these guys. And frankly, the results just haven't been there. I mean, this group was the best in baseball last year. They had the best ERA of any bullpen in the game, 2.99, and it's up by more than a run this year. It's over four. If I'm not mistaken, I think that they're in the bottom 10 of ERA this season. And it's just frankly been, you know, the guys who were reliable last year haven't been reliable this year. Tyler Rogers has had some scuffles and seems like teams are figuring out a little bit of, you know, how to attack his kind of unique pitching style with the submarine style. And, you know, when we saw Sam Long come in the ninth Wednesday in Arizona to record the final out, it was kind of interesting to see that it wasn't Don Leon, it wasn't Jake McGee, it wasn't you know, Harleen Garcia, it wasn't anybody. It was Sam Long, the guy who's been their long guy and a guy who hasn't pitched many high leverage situations. And, you know, we asked Gabe about that and he said, you know, Jake McGee just hasn't been very good this year. And, you know, he doesn't really consider him to be a late inning lefty anymore. And this is a guy who got 31 saves last season. And I mean, you saw what he did last night. He came in and he gave up four hits and two runs in a low leverage situation.
Yeah, you're right. Jake McGee is now sort of a mop-up guy, and the two runs he gave up, the two hits, were to left-handed hitters. One was Mazzara, who hurt the Giants last night. He got the hit off Littell as well, but Mazzara off of McGee, and then Cronenworth off of McGee, and, you know, it made a 4-1 into 6-1 and changed the game, even with Belt's home run in the ninth inning. You point out the ERA, it's over 5 now, like 5.01, something like that. And the whip is 1.5, which, you know, we talk about these whips all the time. You know where that is. That's about half a runner too much per inning for the bullpen. So that's where they go with that. Well, you were right about the games. Brebby is at 40. He is number one in Major League Baseball. Rogers is in the group at number two at 39. And Duvall is in the group at number five at 37. How about that?
Yeah, and, you know, especially in the case of Camilo, I mean, this is a guy who hasn't pitched with this amount of, you know, this amount of workload in his entire career. I mean, this is his first full major league season. You know, John Brebbia was, you know, once a workload type guy, you know, for the Cardinals, but he had undergone surgery, and he's, you know, I think 2 years removed from that. And, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a situation to manage in the final couple months of the season. And I guess, you know, it's an open question of whether it's going to even matter at this point, right? You know, 3 games out of the wild card, 12 and a half back of the Dodgers. You know, they've been pushing these guys to the limit, and it hasn't gotten them to a point where, you know, they need to be at this point.
Well, I always say you win 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 12, and all of a sudden everyone forgets about what we're talking about because you have 80 games to go. So it is a baseball season, and there is plenty left to go. It's the parts we're talking about that have to pick it up a little bit. Let's talk about a couple of more positive things, really, and one is Jock Peterson. How about that being voted in as a starter in the outfield along with Mookie Betts and Acuna? How about that?
Yeah, the Giants' first all-star outfield starter since 2012, the first outfielder at all to make the game since 2014. And, you know, it's just probably the ultimate, I don't know, irony for the Giants to get a left fielder into the all-star game, right?
That's funny.
A position that's just been a constant rotation ever since Barry Bonds left. But, yeah, I mean, Jock is, you know, he's thriving here in San Francisco. He loves the clubhouse. The clubhouse loves him. Obviously, he was a Palo Alto guy, grew up going to Giants games. So this has really been kind of a dream season for him. And, you know, he was an all-star when he was a rookie, too, back in 2015. That's 7 years ago now. And he's changed a lot as a person. He's really focused on kind of the mental aspect of the game and, you know, always staying, you know, calm, cool, collected throughout all the situations. You know, Gabe mentioned this about Jock. He said, he's shown a lot of real good leadership qualities with the way he's responded to some challenging situations this season. And he didn't say the words, but it was pretty obvious he was talking about the Tommy Pham slap earlier this season when, Pham comes up to him in the outfield, slaps his face, and Jock just, he doesn't respond. He walks away from the situation, whereas, a player who's less level-headed, or maybe even Jock when he was younger, maybe would have gotten into a bigger altercation there. But, he's talked a lot about, how he's used kind of the breathing techniques that he works on with, the mental health coach, Harvey Martin. He goes out and does these walks on the outfield grass before the game to kind of ground himself mentally and physically onto the field. And it helps him when he comes up for big at-bats. He's able to not get too big or too caught up in the pressure of the situation, and it's paid off.
Yeah, he looks very calm. I wonder if the Giants will move him if things don't turn around here in the next 3 weeks. It's a one-year deal. Look, every place he ends up in the playoffs or a World Series. You think the Giants would move him, or is he going to be a Giant and they'll re-sign him to a longer deal?
I mean, the fact is that things don't turn around. The Giants do have pretty attractive pieces to send to other contenders that could bring back pieces that are going to help in the future and kind of restock that farm system, maybe even at the upper levels, guys who could come in and help next season's team. Jock, obviously, being one strong candidate of those. Carlos Rodon is a guy that any contender wants to add to their rotation and would bring back a serious haul of prospects, I think. And both those guys are probably going to – their contracts are going to expire after this season. Rodon's on a two-year deal, but he's going to hit 110 innings coming up here in the next couple starts, and that's going to trigger an opt-out clause for him that as long as nothing goes awry over the last couple months of the season, there's no reason to expect him not to opt out and try to get a long-term deal after his season this year. Jock is, he's a local guy. I'm sure he would love to stick around in San Francisco, and if the Giants wanted to bring him back, like, he'd be a great piece to build around and kind of allow these young guys like, a Marco Luciano or, Luis Matos or Elliot Ramos, to be able to integrate them into the lineup while having a big bopper like Jock in the middle of it. And by all means, Jock's a great clubhouse guy too, a great leader, a guy who sets a really good example for young guys. So he would be really valuable as a piece to build around for the future. But, on the other hand, he's also a guy who is going to be really attractive to contenders who would love to acquire a guy with his postseason acumen.
Yeah, I would keep him. I think he's made for the park, and you've outlined all the positives about him. And they don't have any outfielders next year who are going to push him unless they get Aaron Judge or somebody like that. So, yeah, I would keep him. One last thing for you before we let you go. We appreciate Evan Wiebeck being with us. Villar hit his first major league home run last night. He looks very good in the field. He's got that sidearm throw to first base. Reminds me of some of the old-time third basemen, the way he does it. 3 for 16, cut with the big double, the home run. The bat is going to be there. Do you like VR? What's your impression of him?
Yeah, he's an interesting piece. I think you have to be impressed with what you've seen from him, even if he's struck out a little bit in his first few at-bats here. He's made some outs. That's to be expected from any rookie coming into the big leagues. There's just such a wide chasm between AAA pitching and big league pitching. But I think it's encouraging what you see from him and his approach. I mean, he comes up in his very first major league at-bat. He's facing Madison Bumgarner. He swings at the first pitch he sees, and he almost hits a home run.
Come on, I thought it was going out.
Right?
I thought it was going out.
Like, wow, what a story, right? He gets an RBI single in his next at-bat, too, and you're like, man, is this guy ever going to make an out? and then he makes
an out
in his next 10 or 12 at-bats because that's how baseball goes. But it was great to see him get his first home run last night. It was actually a pretty fun story too, because he's rounding third base and crossing home plate, the guy waiting in the on deck circle is Joey Bart. And, this is a guy that he came up through the minors with. They played a short season A-ball together. So the first guy he sees after he crosses home plate, from his first big league home run is a guy who he's played with for the past, 4 seasons now.
Oh, good insight. I appreciate it. Very good. Ev, great to have you on. Evan Wiebeck, he covers the Giants for the Merc and does a good job. Ev, thank you so much. We'll have you back again. Look forward to it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Marty.
All right. Very good. Enjoy the day. All right. Bill comes up next with Mark Sweeney. Remember him? He is a TV analyst for the San Diego Padres, always has a good look at that ball club. And we'll hear from Bill and Mark Sweeney right after this.